Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here we go. Andy Warren here to talk to you about our sponsors, Manscaped.com. At this point, you know the drill. You've heard it enough times. You know about the Lawnmower 4.0. You know about the cutting-edge ceramic blades to reduce grooming accidents thanks to skin-safe technology. You know about the 7,000 RPM motor. You know about a new multifunction on-off switch to engage travel locks. And you know about the ability to turn on a 4000K LED spotlight and the fact the lawnmower is waterproof. You know about the weed whacker. Stuart Watson's told you about that. Sort out your nose and ear hair. And you know about the crop preserver and the crop reviver, which will help you smell your best. But what you maybe don't know is about the two free gifts thrown in with the Performance Package 4.0. Free gifts. And that's what we all want, isn't it? Manscaped will throw in a pair of boxers. Really comfortable. Really, really soft. They'll look after you. And you know what? The best bit about it is the Shed travel bag. It's a black and brown leather travel bag. I walk into football grounds holding it. I feel like a football player. I walk into budget hotels with it following football matches. And I feel like a big deal. So, Performance Package 4.0, two free gifts, boxers, Shed travel bag, and you can get 20% off all of those things and free shipping by using the code KOA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code KOA at manscaped.com. Now on with the show.
Well, hello, KOA Army. It's the beginning of a new week, I say. What a weekend that was. I'm Mike Bacon, and I'm standing in for the Heath Monster, who once again has failed a late fitness test. When he failed a fitness test, as soon as the ball hit the back of the net, charging out into his back garden, tripping over his pizza patio straight into his pond, and that's been the end of him for the weekend. As you can see, he's having time off. I'm having to introduce this. Who cares? 94th minute when I'll introduce them all day long, quite happily. So I'm Mike Baker. As I said, I'm replacing Mr. Heath, who's not here today. Currently, I did a little check-in on him this morning. Apparently, sitting in his bath, in his pants, in a bunch of ice cubes, just to calm him down, apparently. That's how excited he got on Saturday afternoon after the goal went in. So there you go. That's where Mr. Heath is. But there is three of us. Dr. Watson, I'm afraid, is also absent. Absent, not without leave, because he's actually on leave. A 94th minute winner. He hasn't seen any of them for years, and so he takes the day off. Which, well, that's great timing. Anyway, Dr. Watson's off, so that's not sure. But who cares? Look who I'm surrounded by. If you're watching this on the video, you will see. If you listen on the pod, I'm going to tell you, because My first, I call them a guest. See, I call these people guests. They're not guests. They're our friends. They're friends of our KOA Army. The first person who's alongside me at Portman Road on Saturdays, we jumped up and down with Brett to celebrate the 94th minute winner. It's Mr. Hutch Hogan. Got a cat that he keeps in a hutch. Andy Warren. Andy, how are you?
Oh, I've got no words, Michael. I'm good. You? It's nice to see you.
Always nice to see me. That's very kind of you, Andy, to say that. Thank you very much. And of course, our other king today, well, he's a man who's, well, the fans love him. They even start to sing. They're singing, who's the something in the black? I don't know what on earth that means. I don't know if he had a black top on Saturday. I don't know if it's a referee they're talking about. Anyway, he takes videos, he puts them up, he takes them down, he puts them up again, he gets told to take them down again. Up and down they go, these videos. He catches the town fans as they celebrate the 94th minute winner. It's Roscoe Ross. Ross Halls, Roscoe Ross. They call him Ross Halls. Hello, Ross.
Hello, Mike. That is a fantastic intro, and I am still buzzing from the late winner, but I'm also buzzing to be on the pod with you fine gentlemen. And I love your jumper, by the way. If you watch this on video, you'll see Mike's jumper. Can you explain what you're wearing?
It's my Pringle jumper, Roscoe Ross.
It's a Pringle golf.
Yes, golf Pringle, because I can play golf, not very well, but I wear a jumper that makes me look like I can play golf, which, of course, is half the battle in any sport, isn't it? Looking like you can do it, even if you can't, but I can in golf, so here we are. Yes, my golf jumper, so yeah. Well, look, what a weekend that was. Oh, have we all just recovered? I mean, we're bouncing out of the ground, bouncing, all of us. Roscoe, go on. How are you feeling? When a ball hit the back of the net, wow.
Oh. You know, I was worried a little bit because when Fleetwood equalised, they equalised in the 82nd minute. And I thought, oh, here we go again. Same old story. On the high of winning at Pompey 4-0, and then Fleetwood get the equaliser. But then, beautiful ball from Lee Evans into Genoi. Genoi's been unbelievable. And then Burst and Salina. Oh, the scenes in that North. And, you know, late winners. Who doesn't love a late winner? And just buzzing. And all the fans are buzzing all weekend long. And I'm sure they're still buzzing going into work Monday morning. Oh, unbelievable seats.
Excellent. Use the word buzzing 5 times there, which is fantastic because that's exactly how we feel. Buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. I mean, you managed to capture the scenes, Ross. I mean, are you ready there with your camera? Can you predict these things? I mean, it's extraordinary. You managed to sort of, you're not allowed to get the goal, of course, but you are allowed to get the scenes. And wow, you're there, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm lucky, that fortunate position to be on pitch side. You know, unfortunately, you guys are up in the press box, but being right there, up close and personal, I actually did film EFL shadow figures. Hopefully, they're not listening and watching this video, but I did film the goal, but of course, I didn't put it out. But I don't know, I felt something was coming. I just felt something was coming, and Genoi was in the box, and he put it into Burson's lean. He scored. One thing I got a bit annoyed about is Burson decided to celebrate the other way. Didn't go and celebrate near me, so I couldn't catch that emotion. But because I didn't even realise that a fan got on the pitch, which was fantastic to see. Just fantastic.
Well, I don't think we're allowed to say it's fantastic to see the fans on the pitch, but I think I know what you mean. The excitement boiled over, and quite rightly so. And even in the press box, it boiled over, didn't it, Mr. Hutch? Look, Mr. Warren, tell him the story. Tell him the story about me, you, and the goal.
I think the story you want me to tell everyone is that Mike, is that when Lee Evans took the ball on the turn and began to play it, a nice little crossfield ball, as Paul Cook wants him to do, into the penalty area. I think what you want me to say, Mike, is that you said a goal's coming here.
I did.
And then it did, didn't it? And that's wow. and that's what you wanted me to say. That was the vision and foresight that not only Lee Evans, Genoi Dadassian and Bersan Salina were able to show in that situation, but you also was staggering. Very, very impressed with all four of you in that scenario.
I was part of that goal from up high in the stands. I mean, it was, yes, I did say that, didn't I? But then again, Andy, you didn't let on the fact that I tend to say that every time the ball goes in the box, which sort of defeats it rather. But no, I mean, what a finish. Right, okay. Well, in all seriousness, what a great game. Let's dissect it very slightly because obviously a lot has been said about already. Andy, though, I mean, talk us through. I mean, it was a bizarre game, really, in a lot of ways, wasn't it? That Town were not great first half, really. But when they took the lead in the second, you thought that was going to be it. Then the equaliser, you thought, oh, here we go again. But then the big finish.
Yeah, I think that was the story of it, wasn't it? But it all obviously came on a special day for the football club with an American owner, Brett Johnson, over for the first time, the first of them to be able to make the trip. And ultimately, everything delivered for him. From the stands and for all the fans that would be watching on as well. But it didn't look like it was going to. Ipswich were largely comfortable, I thought, throughout all of this game. Probably the better side throughout all of this game. And ultimately did take the lead just after half-time through Connor Chaplin. That's a really good goal as well. That one's going to kind of be forgotten a little bit, I think, given everything that happened after that. But a really nice strike from a player that's banging form. But that goal settled things after a bit of a first half where they came out the blocks quickly, came out firing, couldn't take the lead, and it all went a bit flat in the 20 minutes before half-time, I thought. The midfield was getting deep and not really able to influence the game. But that goal, you'd hoped, would then kind of be lift-off and go on and win a game that they should win comfortably. But they didn't. They didn't find the second. And ultimately lost a lead, which is a similar story to what we've seen in so many games. But ultimately this time, they got themselves the late winner that everybody wanted, and it was yeah, it was a brilliant day. The noise was incredible. I'm sure you could hear that throughout the whole town as that goal went in, depending on which way the wind was blowing. But couldn't have scripted it much better, could you?
Well, you couldn't, and you're right. I had no idea which way the wind was blowing, but it'd be interesting to know from our KOA army where they heard it. Well, of course, they'd all have been in the ground, so they wouldn't have been hanging around anywhere else. Roscoe, big noise when that final goal went in. But as Andy said, the first half, I think I wrote down in my report, it was a bit of a damp squid. I think I meant squib, but I don't quite know if I spelled it right. I had to nudge Andy just to make sure I got it correct. But it was, wasn't it, Ross? I mean, Town started so well, and the first half sort of petered a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, I think Fleetwood's played the game they wanted us to play, really. I think they wanted to really go at us, be really physical. I felt, as Andy said, I went really flat in the last 10 minutes of that first half, and I thought, oh, okay, is this going to be a dull, goalless draw? But thankfully, second half came to life and we showed some grit. First half, I don't know, it's been a bit of a worry for me. First half, we can't never get going sometimes. But no, thankfully we got the goal, and as Hutch said about Chaplin's goal, that will be forgotten about. But I watched it back this morning and thought that is a fantastic strike. And I think if you haven't watched it, watch it back. It's a good goal. And Chaplin is on fire, isn't he?
He just left the keeper completely standing, didn't he? He took the ball on, sort of bent it round a defender, and the keeper just couldn't even move towards it. He struck that cleanly and firmly, and into the side of the goal that he'd left kind of free almost. It was unstoppable, really.
There's always something beautiful about a goalie not moving, isn't there?
Yeah.
When somebody takes a shot and the goal just stands still and doesn't even move, there's something beautiful about that. The ball goes to the back of the net and you just think, the goal is just completely... that was a fantastic goal. I think he took it with his right and hit it with his left. I mean, that you're right, it has got a little bit lost. But yeah, something nice about the goal just standing there and the ball just goes past him, he doesn't even move. Terrific goal by Chaplin, who's... we had Macaulay Bon on fire. We still have Macaulay Bon on fire. Now we've got another goal scorer on fire, Andy. I mean, that's what you need, isn't it?
Yeah, they needed that, not just to have somebody else scoring regularly, but for those goals and that level of impact to come from the number 10 position, which they've tried an awful lot of different sort of equations in that attacking three behind Bon. And this one's all adding up. It's he's grown into the role. He had a bit of a slow start with an injury, I think, early on, and wasn't fully fit, excuse me.
Oh dear, Andy, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Okay. Thanks for your concern.
Fine.
But he's getting himself up to speed now, more than up to speed. And is it 5-7 now for him? And to have those goals coming from the number 10 position is great. I thought it was really interesting what Gary Roberts said after the game about how much is demanded of the number 10. In Paul Cook's teams, it's not just about it's so much is required from him in all phases of the game. It's a hard role to play, Gary was saying, but he's making it look fairly easy at the moment. And then you also have goals two in three before the weekend for Sonny Aluko from the right, and then still trying to work out exactly what to do with the left, all with Wes Burns sort of on the bench, who I thought actually had a real impact on this game when he came on. He injected a bit of obviously Selena grabbed the headlines from the bench with the goal, but the man that made sure that Ipswich were on the front foot throughout his time on the pitch was Wes Burns. I thought he's just got one thought on his mind, and that's to beat a man and get into the box, and that's exactly what he did. Just made sure Ipswich were flying forward. It's all coming together, isn't it? It feels like, anyway, in just pieces of the puzzle slotting together.
I think you're right, Andy. And I think, I mean, like, you know, when you can bring on Wes Burns and Burr Sant Selina in League One, Ross, I mean, that's, you know, it's sort of a dream. It's a dream situation for Town fans, because there's no doubt about it, Ipswich were equally as strong, if not stronger, when they brought the subs on, which doesn't happen very often at this level of football.
No, definitely not. I don't know who Fleetwood brought on, but I'm sure they probably weren't bringing on Wes Burns or Burson Selina. You also got your boy Joe Piggott on the bench as well, you know, to come on if needed. And, you know, Wes Burns has got that pace, you know, a tiring Fleetwood side. He's going to come on and makes, and so Hutchie said, he changed the game. Burson comes on. He hasn't been maybe as good as we were hoping he was going to be. But for him, you know, a lot of people may have criticised him, but you know, he had COVID, he didn't have a pre-season. He's, you know, having to bed back into the squad. And he's, you know, come on and scored late winner. He scored late winner before. I was there at Burton when he chucked his shirt in the Burton end. And he's done the same again. Hopefully you guys got his shirt back. Did he get it back?
Yeah, well, he did.
Did he, Andy? Because you, I never, in all the excitement, because I, when the goal went in, I stood up and did sort of, do you remember? I sort of did a backflip, and which was extraordinary in the press box because there wasn't much room. But you,
yeah.
You, and you tight. Said, it was tight, and you said he's lost his shirt.
Well, he held his shirt into the crowd, which is what he wants to do. He does that. That's routine. That's what he did at Burton. Had a bit of an undershirt on this time. He was fully topless after the Burton one, but he had one of the blue undershirts on. But that ended up in the crowd. And Connor Chaplin's the man who deserves the credit for getting it back. He somehow managed to fish it out of the crowd. I think they got thrown another Ipswich shirt first, a blank one. I don't know whether the person who caught it had just removed his and tried to do a little bit of a trade. But somehow they did eventually get that shirt back. Which Bursant himself after the game said, look, if that was me that had caught it, I'd have kept it. But I think the guy at the stand has missed a trick. There was a bit of a moment in the NFL yesterday where Tom Brady, legendary quarterback, threw his 600th career touchdown pass in that game. And the guy who caught it ended up chucking the ball into the crowd. And then in American sports, those balls are kind of like the ball that was thrown for that pass is a big deal. That's like a piece of history. And this guy caught it in the crowd. And like some officials from the team waded in to try and get it back. And there was a long negotiation period about what the guy would get in exchange for giving it back. And he ended up there was some talk of like a season ticket for life. There was talk of a different ball, signed jerseys, cash. I don't know what he got eventually, but I don't know. This guy Ipswich, maybe a bit more honest, just happy to throw it back and be involved in a big moment, just like your the guy who ran the pitch, which we do not condone, do we? But
we do not, Ross. We don't want any of that sort of talk again, please. Giggling and laughing that somebody ran on the pitch. Thank you very much.
We absolutely do not condone it, but it did make some great pictures.
Brilliant pictures.
He was involved in that celebration, yep. And I think I saw a video. I think he safely made it back into his seat as well. So the criminal may still be out there.
Excellent. Well, look, that's great. And of course, the whole afternoon was sort of encapsulated by Mr. Brett Johnson being there. I mean, wow, what fantastic to see him. I mean, he's one of the new American owners. They can't all be here at this moment in time, unfortunately. But Brett, well, they had the American flags up. They had all sorts of goings on. He met lots of people. He met loads of celebrities and top people while he was here over these few days. And of course, one of the people he met, one of the top celebrities he met, was Andy Warren. Now, Andy,
you idiot.
Oh, sorry, but of course, Andy. It was fantastic. Was it? You caught up with him a little bit. You met him. I mean, a few thoughts on meeting Brett.
Yeah, Ross and I were down at Portman Road on Friday afternoon when Brett arrived. He's a big man, isn't he, Ross? Very tall. Very big smile.
How tall would you suggest? Do you think what are we talking?
6'4". He's not Thomas Holy, but he's I don't know, maybe 6'4", 6'5". He's a former intercollegiate rower. So that, if you can imagine, that's the kind of build. He rowed crew. He's also, I think he's got an identical twin. It reminds me of the Winklevoss twins. And you know the Social Network, the Facebook film? Reminds me of them a little bit. But yeah, very, very friendly man. Clearly excited to be here, as you would do after a big, you make a massive purchase and you're not able to get your hands on it for 6 months. I mean, Mike, that jumper, did you have to wait to get hold of that?
It's funny you said it. I did actually. Yes, I put deposit down, and it took 2 months to come. I was all over the place to try.
There you are, exactly. So for him to be here now was a big moment for him, and he gave up sort of 45 minutes of his time to do some photos with Ross over in the stands, and then came up to one of the exec boxes with myself, Brenna Woolley from the BBC and Phil Ham from TWTD and sat down and talked about his emotions, really. Just his emotions at finally being here after such a long wait, how he's felt watching games from afar, what he's made of the season so far and everything like that. So it was great to meet him and great to see clearly the passion that not just he, that he's kind of brought over here kind of on behalf of the rest of the ownership group who sadly weren't able to make it on this occasion. But it's just great to see the enthusiasm that they have for what they've purchased. And it was great as well that they were able to sort of produce on a big day for the club, because Ipswich have a habit of not doing that, don't they? Whenever it
absolutely
rubbish on television, rubbish against Norwich, rubbish in the cups, even little things like when the club have had sort of ticket promotions that have swelled the crowd a little bit. Historically, it's been a damp squid on those
squid
days.
Squid or squib?
Like, you know, it's a squib, but we'll call it a squid. Ipswich don't produce on those days, but maybe, just maybe, the tide's turned a little bit and things are changing. Who knows? Hopefully this is the start of something really good, because it was a great day and you could just tell, couldn't you, that I'm sure you two felt the same, that there was a bit of a spring in the step of everybody, fans particularly, actually I think the staff at the club all had a bit of a spring in their step over the weekend going into the game, which obviously they'd have come out bouncing afterwards.
Absolutely. Ross, when you were doing the photo shoot with Brett, I mean, was he very amiable and helpful towards you? Did you sort of lean back a bit, Brett, forward a bit, Brett, that sort of thing? I mean, how?
I'm not very good at like giving people directions. I sometimes just go, can you just sit here and just smile at me, you know? But he's got the Hollywood smile. It was very helpful, very helpful. And we got a prop. We got Sam Morsey's shirt for him to hold. And some people were thinking I was trying to steal it, because in the shot it sort of like stretched a bit, and people were going, is Ross trying to steal this shirt? But he was very helpful and very nice guy, and had a nice little brief chat with him. And you know, he said he just had goosebumps being at Portman Road for the first time, and he was loving it. But yeah, really nice chap, and it's good to meet him.
If he'd thrown his shirt at you, would you have kept it?
Yes.
Right, there you go. And just one little thing, Andy. We just had a. I had a pie, obviously, at Portman Road again on Saturday. No mash again, but there you go. One of those things. A bottle of water. And we were talking afterwards. We were talking before kickoff. I told you about Phoenix Rising, the team that they are involved with in America. And you said to me, which I thought was very interesting, that it's a completely. It's completely different to Ipswich Town. Their experience at Phoenix Rising was possibly completely different. Because I said to you, what tendencies they get at Phoenix, and just tell me a little bit about Phoenix, because just to try, so for you know, the KOA Army to understand what the difference Brett was probably experiencing compared to what he possibly does usually experience.
I've not been to Phoenix Rising, but I've read a lot about them. I've watched videos and things like that. The crowd's obviously a lot smaller. It's a newer fan base. The club's not very old. And I can't imagine that Brett has. He's been to football games before. I think he's spoken about going to watch Chelsea a bit when he lived in London. But in terms of ownership, I don't think he'd have experienced anything like the atmosphere that was here at the weekend at Phoenix. It would have been very new to him. Just the way that the game sort of builds up, and the music tries to kind of build an atmosphere, and it does build. And I don't know, without going there, I don't want to speak badly of Phoenix, because they're clearly a club that are doing things very, very well. They're making really good progress. They're successful. Their attendance is a building, and they're switching stadiums at a rate of knots. It seems they're moving between stadiums and upgrading their attendances and things like that. But this will be a whole new ball game for Brett, and to have witnessed sort of Portman Road at its rocking best at the end there will be something that would live with him for a long time. And I'm sure the other members of Game Changer and the other two Lions will have been slightly envious watching that game over their breakfast on the West Coast.
Absolutely. I think you've summed that up, Ross, Andy, actually quite right, because they say you haven't been, but you haven't been to, but I mean, it was likely a very different atmosphere to what he's saying. And of course, some of the North Stand songs that he must have heard. He's probably never heard of any some of them before, I shouldn't think either. But we won't go through all them now. But I mean, Hark the Herald and all that sort of thing, you won't really have heard too much of them, I don't think, in Phoenix. But anyway, what a great occasion for Brett, or a great occasion for all of us. Fantastic. And last word to finish with Ross on the atmosphere and the fans. And you spoke to afterwards because it must have been buzzing. Were you forcing them away to get? You had so many queuing up to talk to you. What happened?
You know, that is the favourite part of, you know, if we do win, you know, fans are buzzing once again, bringing that word in. Fans just...
That's six times you've said that.
I'm going to create a counter now. It's going to come up on the screen in a second. But the fan, you know, I think for us, when we win, it's great for us and it's great for all the fans. And I want to quickly bring up about Brett Johnson. I'm sure he probably wouldn't have heard, you know, the referee's a wanker. Sort of phrase, but so I had to bring it in, but I'm sure he wouldn't have heard that before. Definitely at a Phoenix Rising game. The fans were buzzing, and it's always good to chat to them after game. And of course, you know, the Kings Anglia fans posse, they were loving it, and they went home very happy indeed.
And they were magnificent on game day. I felt some of the quotes and comments fantastic, as per usual. So look, we draw a little line under the Fleetwood extravaganza, along with Brett Johnson. And I'm going to call you Andrew now because there's a serious point. Million dollar pick.
Let's call it dollars this weekend. Yeah.
Let's call it dollars because I think it's absolutely apt. Your million-dollar picks for the weekend, Andrew. I'm going to call you Andrew because serious gambling is not something to be taken lightly. Now, how did we progress after Dr. Watson's blown most of it now, and no wonder he's not here hiding in shame. Have you managed to rectify the situation?
Well, yeah, we did. We got things back on an even keel. I made pretty much all of Watson's losses back in the Portsmouth game last week, so that was fine. But so close to winning, well, kind of close to winning, winning seriously big this weekend, Mike.
Were you?
Yeah, I had £25,000 on Ipswich to win 2-0 with Bursant Selina scoring the final goal. No. I think I won a victory in spirit, but and things like that. But you don't win in spirit in this game. So actually, I'm a bit of a loser, but I feel like I was close. I think the scenario played out as I thought it might.
Well, well done, Andrew. Because I mean, obviously, you've been put in a very difficult situation now with a million dollar picks now. But thanks to Dr. Yeah. Watson, he's you know, all your good hard work has been ruthlessly thrown away in the manner it was. But you're slowly pulling it back.
Yeah, we're getting back. Can we talk about a few more things from the game?
You carry on, Andrew. You can take over by all means. Go on.
I just think that amid everything with Brett Johnson and Bursant Selina, there's some good building blocks that emerged in this game that will kind of fly under the radar a little bit, maybe. For a start, I thought Christian Walton was... One, he'll be disappointed to have left this game without a clean sheet, but he just gave me a sense of calm that that I'm not sure we've had from an Ipswich goalkeeper for a little while. He made some good saves, but the thing that really struck me was he made one good stop. I think it was to stop Dan Batty in the second half, tipped a ball round a post for a corner, but then he caught the corner that followed with such an air of authority and calm. That really made me feel quite secure about Town's goalkeeping position, which hasn't always been the case over the last two or three years. Obviously, another assist for Janoi Danasian. That's his third in two games, and that goal was lovely, wasn't it? They moved it from just in midway inside the Fleetwood half to the back of the net in three touches through him and Lee Evans. And I thought Evans and Morsi were quite key to this game. I think they were possibly drifting a little before half time and pushed back and playing deep. But I thought, especially the final 20-25 minutes, they were real on the front foot and pushed up high and kind of made a wall that meant that Fleetwood were penned back a little bit. And then Burns as well. I just think there are a few little things here that may go under the radar a little bit that are all important steps towards this team getting to where they want to go. Because it's not going to be Bersant Celina winning it in the 93rd, 94th minute every week. And there are some big, big old tests coming up, which we'll get into later in the week. But yeah, it's as much as it was a great show, I think there are some pieces just falling into place here, and hopefully they're putting the puzzle together at the right time.
And I think, Andy, I think, you know, looking at Morsy and Evans, you get the feeling that is going to be what Cook wants, yeah, isn't it? That you don't get any feeling he's going to change them to if he doesn't have to.
No, I thought that when they signed, to be honest, Mike. They were his Wigan midfield. Paul Cook's trying. Let's not mess about here. Paul Cook is trying to replicate the team that he had kind of made into the Championship form side at Wigan during that second half of the season before the whole thing got burnt down by terrible, terrible events of how the financial things crumbled at Wigan. That's what he wants to recreate. Mm. And if he can put a flat pack, ready made midfield in there, that I just think they work as a partnership. You can tell they know what they're doing. They know each other's movements, and they don't always necessarily make the movements that you might expect from a midfielder, because they're doing what Cook wants. And that ball from Lee Evans is exactly what Cook wants.
He wants, you could not
so much anymore because the crowds are in, but you can hear switch the play. Yeah. That's what Paul Cook wants, particularly Lee Evans, to do. So that partnership's coming on really nicely. So I think the likes of Carroll, Elmazouni, Harper are all kind of going to have to sort of look in from the outside of this one for a little while, I would say. You're probably right.
And I think the thing about it was that second half particularly, they were just 10 yards forward. They were just 10 yards more forward, as we were talking again in the press box. They were 10 yards more forward than they were in the first half. They're always going to play a few sideways passes and a few keepy ball and a bit back and then, you know, sideways. But when you're 10 yards forward, you can suddenly do something like Evans did with that pass in the final minute, because you're that far forward rather than being on the halfway line trying to do it. Morsy and Evans, Roscoe, I mean, they're your centre midfield. You like the way they're moving?
Yeah, I like the way they move. Great song. I'm just excited, you know, I'm just entertained watching this side now. You know, it took a while for them to bed in. I think Morsy was that final piece of that puzzle for that midfield. You know, they played with each other before at Wigan. Morsy's now the club captain. He's leading by example. And watching that goal back this morning, Lee Evans' ball over to Janoy, it's just a great switch of play. And just, that midfield is working very well indeed.
And can I just bring in, what about Mr. Penny? I mean, I thought Matt Penny had a fairly decent game, to be honest, and he's become rather sort of the forgotten Penny, which is not forgotten, but obviously with Coulson coming in, that sort of always puts someone straight on the back foot. They're thinking they've got a nice place nailed down, and suddenly the boss brings in someone and you think straight away, But I think he's really, you know, the fullback positions for Ipswich Town are looking pretty good, Andy. I think they're looking pretty decent. I think if you had Coulson or Penny, but I think Penny's doing himself proud. I think he had a decent game again on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. And I think he's a safe pair of hands in many ways. I think Coulson will give you more of the kind of forward momentum potentially than Penny will. Not that he's not hanging back or anything, but I think we talk about maybe Ipswich trying to replicate Paul Cook's Wigan side, and I do think he's trying to do that, all things considered. But I think the fullbacks have maybe calmed down a little. Yeah. He's calmed his fullbacks down a little bit, which I think there's a few reasons for that as well. Like traditionally, Cook likes, we'll call them wingers, but the kind of the wide players in that three, he likes them to come inside, really, so to leave room for the fullback to go on the outside historically. But Wes Burns isn't going to do you that. Wes Burns isn't a kind of come inside and play kind of guy. I know he's not in the side at the moment, but in general, he's a outside, attack your man, beat your man kind of guy, which means Janoy doesn't need to push up and do that on that side. Maybe on the left, sort of Scott Fraser was there, who does come inside, so maybe the left side was needed to do that a little bit more. But I think he has maybe calmed those fullbacks down just a little bit, because they were getting caught in behind them earlier in the season. I think that's a good tweak. We've critiqued Paul Cook's tweaks, haven't we? In-game tweaks and things here, haven't we? We've talked about substitutions and things in the past few weeks, but I think he deserves a bit of credit for that particular tweak to his ideals, maybe, because it's given a solidity that was maybe needed at a time where they were conceding a few silly goals. So, all credit to Paul Cook for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Cameron Burgess came on for the last 30 seconds, which was rather interesting. Just to perhaps shore things up from the last minute, which was interesting to bring him on, which was great. So, look, I mean, it's a great weekend. And like I say, things are starting momentum. Momentum starting to build, Andy. Ross, you tell us. I mean, it's starting to build. Do you feel it? I suppose we all do.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be a bit negative here, but I'm not going to get carried away because we've been burnt before. I've been hurt. You know, the hope that kills you and all that. But, you know, the game that changed it was the Pompey 4-0. That was the statement win. And we showed some grit against Fleetwood. We got that late winner. And now it does feel like it's building here. And as Hutchie said, the building blocks we've seen in this game, and I feel we've now got it ticking. Plymouth will be a tough game this Saturday, but I just feel, the team are now there, I feel. But we've been burnt before, so I'm not going to get too carried away, but I'm going to be happy for this time being because we're back-to-back wins and statement wins.
It's got to this place at the right time, hasn't it? Obviously, yeah. You look at the fixtures that have been before, and they should be higher in the league than they are. But given the teams that they've played so far, they should be in a better position than they are. There's drop points out there. There's so many points they should have picked up, but they haven't. Most recently at Cambridge, obviously, but it is getting closer to where they want to be at the right time. Next few weeks, they've got the top two away from home, back to back, Saturday, Tuesday. That's big in anybody's book, isn't it? And then also Rotherham and Sunderland in the next five league games as well. So they're getting into a place at the right time where they can go into those games with a bit of confidence, which they maybe wouldn't have done had they happened at other times in the season. And you got to hope that this is all building to sort of produce some results in those games, because the easiest way to make up the ground they've given themselves is to beat the teams in question, isn't it? So if you're trying to close the gap on Wickham and Plymouth, easiest way to do that is go and take 3 points off them. And they've put themselves in a position where they should feel relatively confident of being able to do that.
Without going into too much of other clubs' results, obviously Sunderland lost at home on Saturday, which is interesting. And so teams are going to drop points. You know, perhaps we've had our bad patch. Wouldn't that be wonderful if our poorest patch of the season's behind us? Could easily be, you know, because we haven't really got going yet. We're now starting to get going. But, you know, we were, you know, Tamworth in the bottom four, you know, not too long ago. So 4 points off the playoffs, very good news all round. Talking of good news, we've changed the subject to ladies football and the Ipswich Town ladies. Now, Roscoe, tell us, talk of 95th minute winners. There's another 95th minute winner. This time, the Tractor Girls produced it at Delwood Avenue, Felixstowe, on Sunday afternoon. You were there, as per usual, with your large camera, no doubt, in attendance. And running up and down the pitch, and tell us all about it. Who was it against, and what happened, and how did the girls play?
I was definitely not running up and down. I was very much sitting on a stool. It's a big camera, but no, yeah, you know, two Ipswich Town side scoring late winners. You know, absolute scenes as standards. They're playing Bridgewater United, basically formerly of Yeovil Town, and it's been our toughest test yet. It was first versus third, and yeah, they. It took us to the end, pretty much. They were very physical. They had a big centre-half. She was probably 6'4", just like Brett Johnson, probably not that big. But they really took us, a really physical game. And then Natasha Thomas does what she does best, leaps like a salmon with the header from a corner, and she scores a late winner. And it's 9 games undefeated so far for the Tractor Girls. And great crowd there, 395 in attendance, some new people. My cousin was there, haven't seen her for ages. So I sort of said hello, and there was also Hutchie there with his little girl Jessica. So it was nice to see them too.
So our first football match that was. We only made it just a couple of minutes into the second half. She got she'd had enough, but she was clapping along. She kept shouting, "Come on, Blues!" every few minutes and clapping. but she, to be fair, she spent most of the half we were there going round the seats in the little stand behind the goal, putting them down so that they were ready for other people to come and sit in. That was the main activity of the day.
That's lovely. That is lovely. What a lovely little daughter you have there, Andy. Go around sorting the seats out. Did you have a cheeseburger?
No, I did. I consumed nothing on the premises. No, we came home and had it's just the two of us all day. We came home and we had toad in the hole and roast potatoes. Her favourite. So
a Sunday lunch. But look,
it was delightful.
But in all seriousness, 395 in attendance for the ladies. I mean, that is, you know, most non-league clubs in Ipswich and Suffolk would die for that attendance. So it's a fantastic attendance figure, Ross. I mean, then, you know, fair play. I mean, they're attracting interest, aren't they? People are really sitting up and taking note.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's growing every week. I think we've been getting over 300 now for the last four or five home games. So it keeps growing. Of course, we've got the doubleheader this weekend. The Tractor Girls are playing Plymouth at Home Park as well. So hopefully some fans will stay for that as well. But yeah, it's attracting more fans. You know, if they enjoy Saturday, then they come down on Sunday. A nice little trip to Felixstowe. You've been there before, I'm sure, Mike. Nice little setup at Felixstowe. And you get some good football. Fortunately for Hutchie's first game, it wasn't the greatest first half. That's probably why he also left. But no, the second half, we got it done, and it was a good 3 points for them. And, you know, two games on the weekend for Ipswich Town and scoring late winners, you know, who could write that?
Are they actually playing at Home Park, like in the stadium?
Yeah.
So basically you are going to be living inside Home Park all weekend next weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to find somewhere, just going to hide to sleep there tonight. So don't worry about hotels. Toilets. Yeah, in the toilets, yeah. Lock myself in there.
Take one of the little tiny camp tent you can sort of just erect and sort of just like a little, you know, you could put a little something out, a little cardboard or something, you know, feed me or something outside your tent or something, and people could drop sort of, you know, drops a tin of soup or something.
You could go in under one, you know, those lamps they put out on the pitch to kind of just warm the pitch and keep, like, you go under one of those. That'd be quite nice.
Oh, you'd be able to warm. Lovely. Weekend in Plymouth for Ross. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Looking forward to that. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Now, look, coming up very shortly, I say shortly, but in the not too distant future, is a Papa John's trophy clash. Now, it's a big one. It's Ipswich versus Colchester United. Of course, plenty of ex-town players in the Colchester side. I've been told the Heath Monster has texted me from his bath to tell me that there's a competition going on for KOA Army fans to win tickets for the Papa John's trophy. He's then also said to me, I can't trust you with this bacon, so I've handed it over to the Hutchman. Now, Hutchman, is this true or what?
It is true on all counts. As Papa John's trophy group games go, they don't get any bigger than this, do they? Yeah, we'll leave the hyping at that point, I think. But yeah, as far as this competition goes, this is as big as it's going to get, with potentially Luke Chambers, Cole Skews, Freddie Sears, Alan Judge, Tommy Smith, Frank Newball, Tom Eastman, Dean Gherkin.
Could Dobbs play?
Don't think so.
No.
But he might be there. All coming back. And we have, you're correct. We've got two pairs of tickets to give away to this game, courtesy of... Two pairs of tickets to give away, courtesy of Papa John's. And in order to be in with a chance to win them, you have to do three things, dear listeners. If you're watching on video, that's going to come up on the screen. You have to do three things. The first one is follow the Kings of Anglia Twitter account or the Instagram account. Ross, you're going to need to put this on Instagram, just a heads up. Follow the account. Share the post, which will have the attached image to it, which includes this question, which of these former Ipswich players does not now play for Colchester? And it's A, Luke Chambers, B, Tommy Smith, C, Christoph Berra. You might know the answer to that. And you're ineligible, I'm afraid. Terms and conditions do apply, which means which you cannot win. Okay. And the third thing you need to do is you need to share this post answering the question correctly. So that's all going to go up on our Twitter and Instagram accounts later on this afternoon, and will be up a few times between now and the end of this week. And we'll pick two winners at random from people who are able to follow those three very simple instructions of follow, share, an answer. Two people at random on Friday morning to win the tickets to the game on, I think it's November the 9th, isn't it? Two weeks on Tuesday. So, yeah, a nice little prize there.
A nice little KOA prize for our loyal listeners and viewers. I mean, in fact, that I thought you were going to throw in a few pizzas, Andy, but obviously...
They're nowhere to be seen, Mike. You're more likely to get some mash out of Ipswich Town than you are to get hold of a pizza in the Papa John's Trophy. I've been to probably six or seven Papa John's Trophy games now since this tournament got sponsored by them. I haven't seen a single pizza. It's a disgrace. But between you and I, the reason we're running this competition is we think it might be the gateway to potentially some free pizza at some point. So, and of course, wanting to give away two pairs of tickets to the big game to our lovely listeners. So, yeah, no pizza yet.
I think you're right, Andy. I mean, we really use this as a bit of a decoy to try and get hold of some pizza, but it's our KOA fans who are going to benefit, and hopefully the winners will enjoy. It's a big game, isn't it, Andy? I know it's a little way off, and I mean, for a Papa John's, it's the design, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I haven't mentioned that. Not only is there the fun and games of two or more Ipswich icons of the recent past coming back potentially to play, but it is also a winner takes all decider, because basically whoever comes out of this game with more points on the night will progress to the knockout stages, and that could include a penalty shootout. So we could get to see Luke Chambers taking a penalty for an opposition team in front of the North Stand, which by anybody's money is worth following, sharing and answering a question in a bid to win free tickets to that. So go out and you'll see the competition up on our social media channels, and you can get involved if that's something that takes your fancy.
Roscoe, can you be trusted to sort out this competition? Because follow, share, it's a bit like hands, face, space. I mean, it's follow, share, what is it, follow, share, enter or something. I've forgotten already myself.
Let's go with follow, share, answer.
Follow, share, answer. We could put it up in that like the NHS did with the hands, face, but that sort of yellow sort of and green thing. Right, so that's great. So you're going to sort that out, Roscoe?
Yes, I shall.
You're good. Excellent. Well, look, we're coming near the end of the podcast now for this week. It's been a joyous weekend. We really have all enjoyed. I hope you've enjoyed, obviously, the fantastic winner of Flukes put us all in good fettle for what some big tests ahead, Andy, as we say. I mean, that's the thing, as we'll talk about Plymouth later in the week when the Heath Monster will hopefully have recovered from his trip and he's fallen to his pond. And, he'll be with us on Friday. Yeah, it's some big stuff coming up, Andy. We won't go into it in detail, but, the season's really starting to boil up.
Yeah, it's like we were saying, hopefully they're now kind of reaching a point where they're going to go into this run of really important games with a load of confidence and feeling that they're ready to make an impact. Yes, Portsmouth was a massive win, but there's a lot more of these games on the horizon. Do it at Plymouth, do it at Wickham. My word, if they could take 6 points off the top two in the space of 4 days, that would make the Portsmouth statement look quite insignificant, wouldn't it? So some big tests coming and some real intrigue.
I bet you're buzzing, aren't you, Roscoe? Looking forward to the next half a dozen games.
Yeah, it's crunch time. It's big boy time in League One. Buzzing as always.
Time to put on the big boy pants and see what they can do.
I haven't got any big boy pants, I must be honest, but I do have some little Speedos, which I sometimes manage to squeeze myself into. I'm usually in the Speedway season, of course, because it's summer. But I might actually bring them out for seeing as we get into that stage of the football season where I get very excited. I might bring them out for that. Look, this is a bit. This I hope you enjoyed the any other business. Says any other business, which I never. No one ever has any. So is it worth me saying anything?
It's worth you saying it. And it's any other business means I'm going to finish this podcast in a minute unless you tell me not to. That's our, just as a peek behind the curtain. I'm going to open the kimono and tell you that is a code that means we're done unless you tell me that we're not. So ask the question.
Okay. Right. Roscoe, any other business?
No.
I knew you'd say that. You're not supposed to say, you're supposed to think of something.
Hope everyone has a good week.
That's not
Halloween, Halloween and all that. It's Halloween on Sunday. Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. Hell yeah, we have a good week. And Andrew, I call you Andrew again because obviously we're getting to the posh sort of time. Any other business, Andrew? Do you have anything to?
I just hope that everybody has a good week.
Excellent. That's fantastic. So hope you all have a good week. Look, this has been the Big Porker. Pork Poncho. Pork. Follow me. Hashtag Pork Poncho. Pork 38 Sleeps. Pork Poncho on Twitter and wherever else you want to follow me. Follow the Andy Warren on whatever. And of course, Roscoe, Roscoe, he's obliterated social media. So you can't fail to find him. Andrew, anything before we go?
No other business.
Roscoe?
Goodbye.
Goodbye. No other business. Up the town. 94th minute winner. Another one of them at Plymouth on Saturday. Be nice. We'll speak to you later on this week.
True crime to football. Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.